Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, once again is your friendly neighborhood T.Y. Jackson here. We are here with the episode 10, episode 10 of the podcast.
God damn it, T.Y. Stupid idiot.
I am joined by the lovely PJC
and
Blake Cannon. Unfortunately,
man,
Rick Jules is not here today. He will be, but he's lagging hard.
Yeah, we might. His computer kind of sucks. So let's bury
Jackson,
Jules right now.
How about you put some goddamn respect on my name? I am the unfriendly, non-neighborly local pro wrestler. Your favorite wrestler and the true provincial champion, because T.Y. is a little biatch. Blake Cannon.
Yeah, let's clear the air on this. What happened on Thursday, gentlemen?
It's clear. I pinned T.Y. Jackson 1-2-3. I should be the champion, but that referee Peter is also a little biatch.
Why was James in the ring anyways?
That's a good fucking question.
So here's what happened, right? So
I want justice.
So after I was beating the shit out of Blake, right? I was firing comeback on him, right? He decides to do a suplex on me, but he does it too close to the referee, right? He does that on purpose so I can hit the poor ref who didn't deserve it. He's just there doing his job.
I did nothing on purpose, you asshole.
Referee Peter had a family that he was there to support, and you fucked on him.
I didn't fuck on anyone.
And you fucked on his income, all right?
Because I did not hurt. Fuck on anyone.
All right? And I'm the provincial champion, so that's all I had to say.
Well, I'm going to guess that this issue has to be settled the only way we know how to, by discussing pro wrestling.
That's right.
So
I hate you all.
So hands and I hate up if children. Anybody, yo.
I blame the children at ringside.
Yes.
I fucking hate children.
Danny Evans was a it's mood in fault. That match, as the children like to say.
That's right.
Why was Danny Evans a mood?
He was very stoic in his demeanor in that match. That's right.
I also want to say one thing. I just want to give a shout out to Andrew because he's the best. So shout out Andrew.
Yeah, shout out Andrew.
He does a lot of work for us.
The fact
he does a lot of work for us on the pod. Shut the fuck up, Blake. I'm trying to flip over Andrew here.
Does not change the fact that you are a little biatch who has my title. It doesn't change the fact that I hate children and that I blame them. That's my baby.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where'd this come from?
If you won,
then why don't you have it, Blake? Huh?
I won that match fair and square, you little biatch.
And when you say
screwed.
When you say T.Y. has your title, you're obviously talking about the prestigious Hot Takes title, correct?
I talk about my fucking provincial title that I got stolen from me over a year ago.
I just have all the belts, don't I?
Yeah, just T.Y. two belts?
Yeah, T.Y.
Blake's biggest nightmare seeing me
You have one, okay? You have one. That provincial title should be mine.
Anyways, continuing. I don't want to talk about this anymore because I beat you.
How was everybody's week?
So it's great.
Other than getting screwed over by T.Y., those referees, and the stupid children, my week was fine.
PJC.
Oh, yeah. I was focused on the chat, Jupiter Vision in the chat. How are you doing? Hope you're doing well. My week was rad. Unlike everybody else in the world, I wasn't able to play Cyberpunk this week. But if you are to get it, I'd recommend it on Stadia.
You're going to plug Stadia already?
That's right. Just exclamation point Stadia in the chat, and you will get all the information you need to know. And now, seriously, if you don't have a good PC... I'd recommend getting it on Stadia. I've heard, unless you have a PS5. If you have a PS5 or the new Xbox Series X, you could play it on those. Do not play it on the Xbox One. Do not play it on the PS4. It is a buggy, glitchy, laggy mess that is not meant to be played on previous generation hardware.
They released a game early though, because people were complaining. Like they were still working on it, weren't they?
Yeah, there was like a massive like crunch to get the game out. It probably could have had another delay, but I imagine they really wanted it out before Christmas. So they have that massive day one patch.
It's like when they released 2K20 and it was the most broken game in the history of humanity.
Like I feel like WWE 2K20 set the bar for like, okay, this game may be bad, but at least it won't be as bad as 2K20.
Yes, but I feel like Cyberpunk had a little more hype than WWE 2K20.
But I'm still looking forward to playing it.
Yeah,
like, I've heard that it has some bugs, but like,
if you get past it, I heard it's like it seems like it's a really great game.
Yeah, because like. Here's the thing. Fallout 4 is one of my favorite games ever. Fallout 4 has countless bugs and glitches, but I'm able to see to get through it all because the rest of the game is fine.
Yeah. And apparently like it's a thing with CD Projekt Red to release kind of like buggy games into the ether and then patch it later. I heard The Witcher was a glitchy, buggy mess when it was released and ended up being patched and turned into like quite a good game from what I've heard. I've been playing Outcasters. That's a really fun game.
I've never heard of that.
It's, well, you wouldn't because it's a Stadia exclusive. Xavier Woods was playing it the other day on his, Xavier Woods did a live stream with Google to announce Outcasters.
Interesting.
Speaking of Xavier Woods, did anybody watch Raw? Does anybody want to talk about Raw today? Or do we want to talk about the big rumor about like how Keith Lee can't work?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Apparently Keith Lee can't work.
Okay. I remember I listened to something on it was Busted Open. I listened to Tommy Dreamer explain a lot of this shit in a way that made it seem not as bad. Because like, the way he said it was, it very likely was not WWE telling Keith Lee, hey, you can't fucking wrestle.
Yeah.
Go back to NXT. That wasn't it. Like, it was like, maybe he wasn't like adjusting to the main roster system from NXT
as
they wanted.
I think right now the biggest issue with a lot of wrestlers is there is not enough, like, it's probably just to get reps in for Keith Lee. Like, they're not doing live events right now. So, like, Keith Lee might get two matches a week if he's on both Raw and main event. So there's just not a whole lot of ring time for him right now.
I think the main roster will always be the place where big guys have to wrestle like big guys.
Mm.
I think until Vince is not running WWE anymore. I just don't think he sees big guys doing the stuff that Keith Lee does, because if Keith Lee starts doing all these athletic moves that we've seen him do in NXT, now every other big guy on the main roster is expected to do that, right? So I can see where they're coming from, but also I think that's what made Keith Lee unique, and that's what got him signed.
Yeah.
So you would think that'd be what they'd keep him, you know, to do, but it's, you know, WWE. So.
I can see that point, but like at the same time, like you look at Otis, who got over as fuck, and he doesn't really do any of the high flying stuff that Keith Lee can do.
Yeah.
He's really just himself, and just fucking his most athletic thing he does is the worm.
Yeah, which is, you know, pretty crazy.
That's very athletic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Otis, I think Otis's big problem is that like, he's really only until like last, like a couple months ago, just been a tag team wrestler. And now he's been thrown into like as like a singles run without any sort of like rudder to help him right now. So there's an adjustment that needs to be made on
and
that.
And I think coming from all three of us who have been tag team wrestlers before for a consistent period of time, like it's an adjustment.
It is a massive adjustment. Like I can't wrestle singles matches here. Like that's why I don't do them.
I was not in a tag team for as long as you two were, but for me, I kind of adjusted to singles easier.
Yeah.
Like I felt a lot more natural when I when my tag partner left me.
Like most people in your life.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Blake's used to abandonment, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there is that.
But yeah, I guess maybe that whole, I guess because Otis's whole thing, maybe when he was a tag team, was all right, like taking the, doing the hot tag and doing his whole thing in the worm, and then they go home, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So, but I honestly think it's just Vince trying to tell them that they're not fit enough.
Yes.
I honestly think it's like because their appearance. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That they're bigger guys.
So. Yeah, there's a reason why I feel like now that Keith Lee's been called up, that he's been wearing like a shirt while he's wrestling.
It pissed me off so much when I saw him in that fucking singlet. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I wouldn't doubt that, but at the same time, like that wouldn't explain the other three who were sent to the PC reportedly.
Well, the other ones are just super green.
So. Yeah, those are green as fuck, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Dio Madden, and who's the other?
AJ's bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. Almost.
And then it was Mace, Almost, and then someone else.
Otis, Keith Lee. Was there five?
Yeah, I remember there being five.
Yeah, there was another big guy.
Oh, yeah, Dabba Kato.
Oh, yeah.
Kato, that's right.
Although he's not really on Raw anymore.
Yeah, Dabba Kato, has he done anything since Raw Underground?
He was drafted to Raw, wasn't he?
Yeah,
was
he got drafted to Raw, then he just never gone Raw.
But, like, has he even appeared on television, like, in the last, like, 3 months?
No.
The only time he appeared on, in a non-Underground appearance was when he came onto the Kevin Owens show, and they, like, teased his match with Braun, his fight with Braun.
Yeah. That's another one that's kind of like directionless right now.
Braun Strowman?
Yeah. Well, he's like, although he's like out, he was like written off like for a little bit, wasn't he? Because he got like suspended or something.
Oh, yeah, he was because he beat the shit out of Adam Pearce.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with because I don't think they knew what to do with him at the time.
No, like,
because like after he dropped the title to Bray, like there just wasn't much for him.
Yeah, because they wanted to go like another direction with like Roman. They didn't
even
want
his title. Even his title run too was very it was an abrupt thing, right? Because me and Roman didn't want to do the match, so they're like, all right, well, who else can we put there quickly that we can trust?
Yeah,
so, I don't think they really wanted him champ.
Yeah, and the sad thing was, like, when they first, like, pulled the trigger on that heel turn right before SummerSlam or whatever it was, like, I thought it was, like, Braun was doing some really good work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing ever came out of it.
And to kind of tie it in with Braun, another big story, how do we feel about the teased WrestleMania match that we never got that we might get this year?
Oh, God, why?
I'm sorry, I'm clueless.
Goldberg and Roman Reigns.
Oh, God.
Okay, honestly, here's my opinion. I do not want to see that match at WrestleMania. However, if they must do it, then I think they could do it at the Rumble.
I don't need to see it at all.
I don't need to see it either. But at the same time, if they're going to do it, I'd rather it be at the Rumble.
Like, you know what I want to see? I would rather see a triple threat. I would rather see two people in there who are very, you know, young and can still go, and then have Goldberg there to just do his big spots. Because Goldberg matches are very underwhelming to me, personally.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right, here it is, Spear, Jackhammer, Ram.
And there is literally one part-timer that I want to see Roman Reigns wrestle, and it's not Goldberg.
Lesnar?
No, the match is Roman versus The Rock.
Oh, yeah. The Rock, yeah. I think everybody wants that.
Yeah. If it's not The Rock, I want to see Roman, you know, wrestle an actual person in the WWE.
If it was up to me, the match at Mania would be Roman versus Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy as a special guest referee or something.
How would we do that? Would you have him win the Royal Rumble or...
You could, but at the same time, does WWE really want to make Jey Uso a main eventer? No. I feel like Jey Uso is proving that he can be. but will do we actually want to make him that sort of
star? Yeah, if they actually want to pull the trigger on him here.
Well, it just circles back to the whole issue of like he has a twin brother, right? So I mean, how can Jimmy come into the fold with Jay as the heavyweight champion? The only way is just to turn Jimmy on Jay, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that shit. I like the Usos.
Although, like,
I mean, they don't have to turn him. He turn
like it's not like any of the New Day kind of turned on Kofi after he won the world title, and Kofi exactly. had a fairly lengthy run as champion.
Yeah, like April to October.
Yeah,
and I think the whole Rock Roman thing, they have to do that once like Mania can get full capacity again. I don't care if it's you got to wait a couple years.
Yeah, like, that Roman versus the Rock is probably like. As the only thing I could think, that's like their last big, huge money match right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, you got to do that when the crowds get back. That's like a 90,000 seat match right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At the same time, we don't know like when that will be though. Like we don't know when WWE is going to be able to have 90,000 people in the stadium.
I mean, if Vince greases the Florida governor's hands enough, it could be this year. So who knows?
Here's the thing. It's a story that, regardless of how far down the line we go, it still makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? It's not something that has a short shelf life, right? I mean, there's literally relationship, family blood there, right?
Yeah.
So
and as that long story. As
you keep Roman dominant, then it can always be, you can always come back to it.
Yeah.
But speaking of fans, did you guys ever read the rumors that said that WWE wants fans at the Rumble this year?
Like, I mean, they could. Like, I think
even if it's just for one night,
Florida's running football games at like 30% capacity already. So,
yeah, they are. I think most of the NFL teams are running at 30 at like limited capacity.
It's all state by state. Like, you know, like California, they don't have anybody in the stands, and I think like in DC, they don't have anybody in the stands. But
I think, from my personal opinion, I think just wait till you can get. Everybody in there.
Yeah, until you can fill an arena.
Imagine the reaction for AEW and WWE. Like, AEW's having crowds right now, but I'm like, man, like, it just kind of feels underwhelming.
Yeah, you know? for that Sting debut, like if they had like 18,000 people there rather than like 400 or how many they have, kind of thing.
And especially WWE with their whole Thunderdome thing right now, like it works. It definitely helps a lot. So, I mean, they can milk that until they...
Yes, like, right, yeah. It's a lot better than, like, the awkward silence of the original empty...
Yeah.
Performance center, yeah.
Like, go back and, like, watch WrestleMania.
I'll never forget when Hunter and or Triple H and Michael Cole were on
commentary. We're doing commentary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Triple H clearly just didn't give a fuck.
He had the camera. He was just filming Michael Cole. It was amazing.
Yeah. And him and Mojo.
Yeah, him and Mojo. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we should move off of Raw now.
Yeah. I don't think many of us really watch wrestling, so we could just talk about like what do we want to see for like WrestleMania here.
Sure, I'm cool.
Who do you guys want to see Roman wrestle at WrestleMania? I'm going with Jay.
Yeah, I've already said Jay as well.
Yeah,
I'm saying Jay with Jimmy there. As a special guest referee.
Yeah,
I think that's a good.
And then Raw World Title. Are we getting to
McIntyre,
Drew? I feel there's no like, there's not as much like heat on the Raw title than there is on the SmackDown.
I want to say McIntyre, Sheamus.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that'd
be a good match.
Because they're kind of planning cheese to that right now.
Again. They could have Sheamus win the Rumble again.
Yeah.
I think Sheamus McIntyre would be a good...
And then I imagine...
Sheamus deserves it too. Sheamus is like one of, like, in my opinion, one of the best that they've had.
Sheamus might be one of the most underrated wrestlers in WWE history.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Like, if he's like in New Japan, like with the style that he wrestles, he'd be regarded as like one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, that stiff like Japanese style that he wrestles. Yeah. Like, you can tell those bro kicks are not a joke.
Right? Fuck that. Now I want to see Sheamus in New Japan. What the fuck?
I want to see Sheamus Okada or something here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Andrew. It's like him and Wade Barrett are kind of like similar, where they're both super underrated with their style that they wrestle. And then I imagine we're going to get like Edge versus Orton probably at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember. Obviously, this was from a dirt sheet. So take this with a grain of salt. But I remember reading a rumor that said they're going to do Edge versus Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, eh?
Which makes no sense.
No.
I don't know how they'd explain that.
Unless they get something going pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
I think Bray Wyatt's whole thing, though, is he kind of just attacks people that he feels like he, you know.
It's people wronged him.
Yeah, I've wronged him, right? So, yeah. I mean, like, but I think the way that the Fiend character is done, that they can make it work. You know, yeah. Have Alexa Bliss and Edge do a backstage or something, and then you can move them there, right?
But, and what do we, while we're fantasy booking, what else do we got here? Anything for Randy Orton if it's not Edge?
I want to see Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. All right. Oh. This time it's a toe for a toe match.
A what?
A toe for a toe.
How would they do that? They
have to wrestle without shoes, Blake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Book it, goddammit.
How the fuck do they hide the fact that one of their toes is not actually missing?
Like, you know, you can just bend your finger like, oh no, my finger's exactly. Missing here.
Yeah. Just have them coming out on TV like that. Just shit on their intelligence. Like, the audience doesn't have a brain. No, I want to see some. I feel like Seth. Here's a question. Who do you think Seth should work with when he comes back?
I mean, there's the obvious thing with like Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. I'm okay with them continuing Rollins versus Buddy Murphy. I am not okay with them with the Mysterios getting involved in that.
It is just way too uncomfortable, this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because like,
Rey Mysterio's like integrity as a father is just going in the tank here.
Exactly. Yeah, like, because say like Rollins came back, he challenges Murphy, and then like you do like a backstage segment where like the Mysterios offer to be in ringside, like, no, I got to do this on my own. Stay out of this.
But then what if they have Aaliyah turn on her family and join Seth?
Wouldn't that be a twist?
I remember that was like a legitimate thing that was being discussed, apparently. Like
Then they have to have an episode of like Maury Povich on Raw. And just, yeah. Or Dr. Phil or something.
Yeah, get Dr. Phil in here. Why not?
Dr. Phil, yeah.
Bring back the guest hosts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And what else? What else like are they really kind of building for WrestleMania? Can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I mean, Carmella and Banks.
I think we'll get another Bayley Sasha Banks kind of WrestleMania kind of blow off.
I wouldn't mind that.
I don't know.
If I'm being honest,
I feel like Bayley's been in kind of a rut now.
Charlotte's probably due back fairly soon. Sasha.
He's just staring at Rhea Ripley, just like,
yeah, it's like, oh, I'm gonna beat her again.
God damn it. Okay. I like Charlotte Flair. I really do. I think she's one of the best wrestlers in the whole company, but I can go say 8-12 months without seeing her in the title picture once she gets back.
They kind of Roman Reigns her. They really over pushed her to like the point where everybody was getting sick of her.
Yes.
I heard that they wanted to do something with her and Andrade when they come back.
I want them to do something with Andrade.
Yeah.
It'd be something for Andrade at least.
Yeah.
You know what I want to see at Mania? I want to see Andrade versus Angel Garza versus Humberto Carrillo in a triple threat match.
I always forget that Humberto Carrillo is still employed with the WWE. Yeah,
he's
like,
he's
so good, and he's only on like filler main event matches now. Yeah. Like I read that like Vince McMahon was really high on him, and then he kind of got bored with him.
I think that's kind of the whole narrative of WWE here.
Yeah, and I think Humberto is just going to be like the battle royal fodder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, we got.
What else is going on in the world of WWE? Are we going to talk about how WWE is even like trying to like hide the fact that they're portraying Riddle as a stoner?
I like his bro nuts.
Yeah, I remember like last week he legit said something about like bro nuts when you eating bro nuts for when people get the munchies. It's like That wasn't even fucking subtle at all.
I did appreciate when he was like cutting off Jeff Hardy when he was trying to make his entrance.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was kind of funny. Yeah.
I'm glad that they're letting him kind of be himself, you know? I mean, Matt Riddle's been super entertaining ever since they kind of just, but like, then again, it's like, to what extent do they do that? Do they like, all right, well, he's getting too popular now. Put some shoes on him and, you know, give him some kick pads or something.
Yeah, I remember, and as part of that same segment that he did last week or whatever it was, like right before he dropped the Munchies line, he said something about like a gardening company where like, he said something about like weeding, and then like once we come to your house will be weedless. It's like, man, like it's like, I love how they're not even hiding it anymore.
So we had a comment in the chat bring up how I'm supposed to cut a promo on Sami Zayn. I don't think I could in good faith do this, but I do want to talk about his t-shirt. Might be the greatest t-shirt in Dodoli history.
Oh yeah, amazing t-shirt.
Great t-shirt.
But if anybody pays $40 plus shipping for that t-shirt, I hate you, and you know, I hate you, but please give me money.
Clearly you don't have much money problems if you're buying that shirt for that price.
What if they're buying it to support Sami Zayn because he's fucking amazing?
Donate to his like Sammy for Syria thing.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's right. That's a good point.
Yeah, there's other ways to support. if you really want a t-shirt, you do the Sammy for Syria stuff because that's like non WWE related.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah,
WWE doesn't get a cut of that.
This won't get a cut of that shit.
Yeah. And did anybody see CM Punk's interview on Renee Young's podcast?
I listened to that.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He did bring up, like, he brought up his point how, like, how he doesn't think that there is ever going to be a wrestlers' union because there's no such thing as the boys.
Yeah, I remember he said that. I don't think any of us can really comment on that. Because we don't really know how,
and we'll probably never get to that level. And
that works. I can say though, from an outside perspective, I can see that it's changed from when he was there to now.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's got to the point where, like, you know, nobody wants to see any other person fail, but like, it just seems like culturally we're moving on as people that. I think the WWE is catching on as well, where people are like, you know, more friendly towards each other. And I think if there's no competition within each other, then competition is healthy. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But I think when it gets to the point where you want to see people fail, it's kind of disturbing, right?
Yeah. Cause like, I remember, I listened to, Mike Bennett's, he was on Busted Open. He was talking about like the locker room. It was like reaction to Kofi winning the title, and it was kind of like yes, good. Like, who's going to be the next person who breaks through? It's like, it's not so much like trying to tear each other down. There's like, we're all trying to build each other up so we can all have our Mania moment, just like Kofi did.
Yeah,
I think if there's more wrestling companies that emerge and there's more options out there, I think people will be more comfortable unionizing. I mean, 2011, there was only, when Punk was at his highest peak, there was only one other option there, and it was Impact.
And Impact was on its
Impact was on a decline at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see from the perspective of people who are there and like, this is all they have. This is their living. This is their livelihood. Right. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to throw away that income. Right. But if there's more options, if there's like so many organizations, which there are now, it makes it easier to be like, all right, well, I have options if this company isn't going to help out people, right?
And all we need is one lawsuit to break the whole thing open.
Yeah.
Like once that seal breaks, then it's over.
It's just who's going to pull the trigger though.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's going to, none of you guys are baseball fans, but who's going to be the Mike Fiers here? Like, I bet nobody gets that reference. No. Mike Fires was the one who he played for the Astros, and he was the one that narked on the Astros cheating in the World Series while he was pitching for them.
Oh shit.
So like kind of martyred himself and kind of blackballed himself a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. Because whoever does take that leap of faith to like file a lawsuit is basically blacklisted from WWE forever.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like, but
that bridge is burned.
All right, got Val Pancakes got my reference here. So there's one person.
Yeah.
And there's also guys like, you know, like Andrew Yang, who are politicians who kind of are they know about it. So like, at least now if somebody else from the outside world who's just a fan, you know, can influence it, then he kind of doesn't get that residual effect that other guys would, right?
And a lot of people thought that it was going to be, you know, David Starr was going to be the one that brings it all together. Turned out he's a giant piece of shit, and that kind of fell apart. But
And then I also had another thing that I was wondering, that if WWE is forced to let their wrestlers unionize, how does that affect wrestlers and other companies like, say, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor?
Though the wrestlers on television would probably have to register with like the Screen Actors Guild, because they're playing like parts on national television. So like it'll probably be like revolved around that. Like it probably would.
But then if they start like their own organization, then all wrestling companies have to be under it, right?
Yeah.
That's also kind of weird to have all these wrestling companies kind of falling under one, because WWE's just been that leader.
Yeah.
That like, I don't know how they would take it knowing that
if they had a share kind of thing.
Yeah, if they had a share, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's completely necessary. I think that the whole thing with wrestlers is that they just feel like they're not getting backed up when shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I think if like companies like WWE had more of those, you know, you're giving them vacation time when you request it, or like, you know, when you're hurt, you're getting the treatment.
Like healthcare or something like that. Insurance kind of thing. And
exactly. I think the term independent contractor, using that, but kind of as a way to avoid, you know,
and then have like these restrictions on the wrestlers where they're not actually independent contractors.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Because like I feel like independent contractors become a very dirty word in the wrestling world, but like at the same time, like I'm pretty sure, are the wrestlers in say AEW and other companies not also independent contractors?
I mean, they also get more creative freedom. Like, they're allowed to do indie dates.
They're allowed to have a Twitch and whatnot.
Yeah, like Kenny was on Impact. He did Mexico the other day, and
that's right. Yeah,
and like so, that doesn't happen with wrestlers in the WWE.
Right, because like if WWE actually like treated their talents as independent contractors,
it'd be a whole different story.
Yeah,
like, nobody would be complaining.
Yeah. But once again, it's that whole greed thing, because WWE is a public corporation. They don't want their guys using their name somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So it's that weird, shitty corporate mentality of, hey, like, we're making money off of you, but we don't give a shit about you, but also you only work for us.
Yeah, it's like they don't want Kevin Owens taking, like, Monster Pro Wrestling bookings.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crazy because like NXT guys as well, like at some point they were taking indie bookings as well, right?
Yeah,
so like is the structure for NXT contracts is different?
I think a lot of it depended on like what promotions, like because they had working relationships with like Evolve and WXW and Progress
and ICW and stuff.
Yeah, but like I think there were still like restrictions, like you couldn't be on like shows if there were like X number of like ROH or AEW wrestlers on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even then, like if you're one of the wrestlers and like if one of these companies wants to book you, and even though you're technically allowed by WWE, if you get hurt, you know, that's like a lot of heat on you.
Yeah. But I feel like that's like anywhere else too, like Kenny Omega at his match in Mexico the other day did a tope con Hilo, and the person just completely, you know, didn't catch him at all, and he just basically took a bump on the floor. So I imagine there might have been like might be heat for their world champion potentially getting hurt like pretty badly like so quickly into his title reign.
In my opinion, I think they should just make them employees. That's my opinion. I think make them employees, let them get benefits, let these people actually have livelihoods and pensions and stuff like that. So like, you know, when they're, you know, 90 years old, they're not Virgiling and going and selling gimmicks at fucking.
Yeah, where you have to do that to pay your rent.
Yeah, kind of to pay thing. Rent and stuff like that. Right? Yeah.
And there's so much talent on indie wrestling right now that like it doesn't need like the AEW Impact guys to be on their shows. Like a lot of these like shows could, you know, sell tickets on the talent that they already have.
And like people who are just left, like, you know, big companies and stuff that are working the indies and mm-hmm. you know. But yeah. It's just sad to see that like I know we talked about the whole Zelina Vega thing a couple weeks ago, but like it's just every time I think about it, I'm like, man, like that's just fucked, you know?
Like, yeah. Like it just makes me so like it's just so like upsetting how like how bullshit the Dudley is with their like and They're employees. I'm not going to even say they're wrestlers.
Yeah, they're employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Andrew said on the chat. He's like, AEW also gives their talent opportunities for office jobs too. Yeah, because I know Britt Baker she's a dentist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Like so, that's a legit thing. It's not just a gimmick. She's an actual dentist.
And then Brandon Cutler, I think, is also on staff as like a costume designer. He is an actual like tenured employee where he gets like benefits and everything from
AEW. So here's a question. I know it's a little off topic, but do you guys think when crowds come back, do you think AEW is going to run house shows?
Oh, pardon?
Is AEW going to run house shows? They're going to stick strictly to TVs.
I feel house shows is a bit of a dead business model. They're fun. I love going to house shows, but the cost to run those and fly and have like the talent, unless you're making the wrestlers pay for their own travel, which is stupid. Yeah.
Pretty sure WWE does make talent pay for their own travel.
I think they pay for like their coach flight if they want to upgrade to that. And then I think they have to find their own accommodation. But I think like their travel, they cover.
In my opinion, I don't think wrestlers are against wrestling more than once a week. But I think if like instead of running two TVs and three house shows, right? Mm-hmm. Why not those guys have the one TV and the one house show, right? And rotate talent where talent they're all working maybe one house show a week. Because as a company for WWE's expanded primarily due to their house shows, because a lot of times, like for us, when's the last time you got a TV here?
Yeah, it's been
a long time.
2011,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah,
that's last there was like a SmackDown. 2013.
I think when the Shield were still around.
I'm pretty sure I was at the last TV.
Yeah.
In Edmonton.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I mean,
it's like the only chance. Like house shows are like the only chance. Like a lot of people, especially in kind of like not major markets, that they're able to see the WWE wrestlers in person.
They get to see those, you know, those people live, which I think would benefit AEW a lot if they have those shows where they can be more interactive with people. But once again, having the guys wrestle five times a week, six times a week is just, to me, is insane.
Yeah.
But I mean, having the odd, you know, house show every week gives them, even guys like, opportunities where it's new on the main roster to perfect the craft in front of a mainstream crowd.
Yeah.
But not doing it once again five times a week, right?
Yeah.
Especially considering how much fucking talent WWE has. It's like, how many fucking guys do they have on their roster that don't see the light of day?
Yeah, like when was the last time like Riddick Moss had a match?
Yeah.
Like I remember for a while, like Jinder Mahal was like doing like strictly house shows for a long time, right? And like maybe it keeps the talent sane to be in front of the crowd or something like that. But like then again, like once again, I just don't believe in we're overworking the shit out of them.
Yeah. Like I personally love house shows. I prefer house shows most time over like actual TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking of from like a business perspective, like if it's going to be a money loser to cover like travel and production costs, then I don't know if it's really worth doing it.
I think the one issue with house shows too is like it was very predictable.
Mm.
Like you go to a house show, they're like, oh, it's a WWE championship match. Like, okay. Like,
Yeah, you know, you know the title's not changing hands.
Exactly.
Unless this house show is in Madison Square Garden.
That title
is not changing hands.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, like so, Madison Square Garden, like 1994 kind of thing, and
because like I think the last time a title changed hands on a house show that wasn't in MSG was when I think Evan Bourne like got suspended for marijuana or something like that, and then him and Kofi dropped the titles to who was it? I think it was Primo and Epico, like immediately like after he got back.
There's been a couple times where like the like IC title has changed hands on house shows, and like the mid like undercard titles, like the European title changed hands on house shows, and obviously like the hardcore and 24/7 titles change hands all the time on house shows.
When Moxie did his podcast with Jericho, which I'm sure all of you guys have listened to, right? When he first left. I'm pretty sure he name dropped Edmonton in that one.
Did he?
Is that the one where he wrestled McIntyre?
Yeah, I think he name dropped Edmonton only because he was like, the house shows bothered him because he'd do a show here and then they'd fly him to Edmonton and then he'd fly back to this place. And it's just, it's so grueling.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't remember him name dropping Edmonton.
Oh, he did. He name dropped it.
Do you remember this, Crowder? Because I don't.
I don't remember like what I had for dinner yesterday. So
yeah,
you know that's CTE right here.
I remember this vividly. I don't know if Andrew remembers this, and he can confirm in the chat. But I remember him saying something because that was that last run that loop they did, and they were in the States before that. And they flew to Edmonton and they flew back to the States.
Yeah, like I do remember that house show having basically like a skeleton crew. Like it was not like a big star-studded house show.
So house shows don't need to be.
Yeah, like well, that's Dodoly's thing now. Like they sell tickets on the brand, not on like any individual wrestlers appearing for the most part.
I think Vince doesn't want any other.
They want the wrestlers to be popular enough that people could recognize them on TV, but they don't want to get too popular that they outgrow the promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also stuff like, you know, like the Saudi Arabia shows as well, where like they would like make them fly and do like Raw the next day. And it's just like, I could tell how some people could have some bad morale, you know, where like, it's just consistent traveling and stuff like that. Like, and not, yeah. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah. Just in my chat there. Like, I do remember there was massive bait and switch for the Edmonton house show.
Yeah.
How they were advertising Ronda Rousey in like Natalia versus the Riot Squad, like until like the day before the show.
Till the show,
yeah, it was fucked.
Yeah, that was I enjoyed that house show, but that was like the only main event that I ever walked out and just left before the match was over.
Remember when
That was Braun and Corbin, right?
Yes,
that was a good match. I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
I disagree. I hate Corbin's heat so much. It is especially on like somebody huge where you can't bump him around. His heat on that was so boring. It was punch off the ropes, punch off the ropes, punch. Edmonton, you suck.
Yeah,
that was his heat. I hated it. I hated it so much.
I fucking admired Baron Corbin in that match, mainly because like, especially as a heel myself, I watched that. I'm like, wow, this guy is getting this entire arena to fucking hate him by doing nothing.
He literally did nothing.
I think wrestlers were for WWE get really good at becoming masters of doing nothing and getting a lot of things. But if you're wrestling six times a week,
we'll do nothing and still have 1.5 million people will watch our show.
But I remember from, I don't know if it was that house show or the one before, but like when Gable and Rude had that tag match with the Revival.
Oh, with FTR, yeah.
Yeah, FTR, sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'm a mark, so whatever.
Fuck, that was a great match.
Oh, man, that was like, awesome.
Yeah. That's the only house show match I ever remember seeing vividly because it was so good.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it was there was a house show before where it was Apollo Crews versus Dolph Ziggler. And they had real good house show match. I don't know if anybody went to
that. That was like opening match too. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was some good shit.
Yeah, I think versus Rollins in that last one.
Yeah.
I think just the Fiend being there was enough that like they could have done anything. They could have just like bowed together and left, and people would have been like, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah, because the Fiend was so like, that was so new and so hot at that time. And
sorry, I didn't get to see the Fiend because I was in Hinton that night. I was working babyface.
How'd that go? Now you wrestled Wrath on that show, correct?
I did, and I won clean. Isn't that fucking wild?
That is wild. You have a clean victory over my man Wrath. I guess not my man Wrath, but Martin's man Wrath.
Fuck Hinton. I'll never wrestle Hinton. Fuck that piece of shit town.
It's the worst smelling town I've ever seen. Ever been to.
No, I'm a babyface everywhere with Hinton. I'll never work babyface in that.
You're healing Red Deer.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I remember, right before that Hinton show, like, me, you, and Jules were all joking around about how the dad bods could work heel in Hinton. And then at the Hinton show after that, what do you know? Heel dad bods.
Oh, we weren't the dad bods though. So that was one thing that was a little unfortunate. I do want to work my the dad bod gimmick heel, but
how would that work?
I don't know. Like, it's the kind of dad where it's like, we're not mad. We're just disappointed. Your kids? Yes,
we're not mad. We're not mad at you, Hinton. We're just disappointed.
You're abusive fathers. That's your gimmick.
Gimmick.
that could actually work for a heel dad bod gimmick. That could actually work. We're not mad at the fans. We're just disappointed.
Yeah. And then you always turn off the thermostat whenever you come down to the show. The place is freezing.
It's funny. Like, I always made fun of people that do that, and now I've become somebody that does that. I make sure all the lights are off when there's nobody in the room, and make sure like the thermostat's off if it's already nice.
Fuck, turn on the thermostat.
Yeah, but like noon, like if the thermostat's on, there's a problem. It's like the sun should be warming up the house.
Exactly. Yeah, go outside.
Fuck.
All right. Do we have anything else? Neither of us really watched wrestling this week, so I don't think we're gonna like discuss it that much.
So other than Sami Zayn, Big E, as well as Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, what else happened on SmackDown?
I think we just talked about it. Carmella and Bayley.
Oh yeah, they're going to that.
That happened as well, but I didn't watch it. I just kind of skipped through it.
Is TLC this Sunday here, or are these the go home shows? Or
yeah, these are the go home shows.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, a couple of hours ago, I panicked. I'm like, oh shit, that's tonight. I should probably watch that.
You're like, oh wait a second. Oh fuck.
Wait a second.
Wait, TLC is tonight?
Week. Oh, no, that's fuck. Next week. Fuck, dude.
Trip me out for a second.
It's like, wait, TLC happened?
I don't know what you guys want to talk about.
I don't know.
You forget about how much of an integral part Jay is part of the show, because we are kind of lost here.
I mean, yeah, Jay's like the only one that actually watches wrestling, I guess.
No, well, we normally have more of a structure though, because like normally we start with Raw, then we'll move on to Impact, AEW, NXT, then SmackDown, then we'll do the Fuck, Marry, Kill, and then we'll do our hot takes.
Here's the thing, wrestling is just so repetitive nowadays. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it's hard.
I gotta switch it up.
How many times are we going to do this?
I can't like envision like I'd hate to have like Brian Alvarez's job where he has to watch like all of it, or like does anybody like go to the 411mania.com? That's my news site. I know Blake likes No DQ, but I used to go to 411, and there was one guy like Larry Sonka. He sadly he died like a couple months ago. He had like complications, like he had his like leg amputated and then like died from like complications from that. But he reviewed Raw, he reviewed SmackDown, he reviewed NXT, NXT UK, MLW, Ring of Honor, Impact, Explosion, all the pay-per-views. And I don't know how somebody does that.
Me neither.
I feel like if I had to watch all like every single wrestling show every single week, I feel like it would make me hate wrestling.
Oh, by the end, he was getting like really kind of bitter. Like, I don't think like in his last like 3 months, like any Raw got higher than like a 4 out of 10. like it was all just like the same. And like, he used to be my go-to.
But wrestling is just that thing where you kind of can't, especially nowadays, there's so much wrestling out there that you either got to focus on one organization or
you're going to fall behind.
Yeah, because like you can't, there's so much that like every day of the week is wrestling.
Yeah,
pay-per-views, it's even more, right?
It's the best of times and it was the worst of times here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where there's never been an easier way to watch all the wrestling you want, but at the same time, it's like overwhelming amount of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So did anybody watch whatever the fuck Impact put out?
I did. It was good.
I don't know what the name is. Sorry.
I'm going to say it was good, but I don't remember any of it.
I did not watch
Callis
it.
Don Callis had a really awesome promo. Like, Don Callis' promo was quite good.
Did you watch Blake?
I did. I don't remember much of it, but it does seem like...
What kind of shit memory do you have? The fucking thing was yesterday.
Like I said, I don't remember what I had for like breakfast a couple days
ago. Okay, well, fair enough for you, okay, Crowder, but like Blake.
It seems like it did seem like they might be like splitting the North.
Yeah, they teased that.
Recent rumors that Ethan Page could be a free agent soon.
And
is he going to the Fed?
I don't know.
He's gotten himself in Fed shape, so.
Okay, like.
Oh, yeah, he looks amazing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there's going to be a fucking bidding war over that guy. There's going to be. There's no way there won't be. He's going to have at least two or three companies fighting over him.
As they should. He is a very good wrestler and is super charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then I also remember probably the first time I ever heard Tony Khan talk, but it was that advertisement that they did on Impact.
Oh my god, that was hilarious. It was like, hey, Tony, you spent a cup of coffee in TNA, didn't you? Yep, was there one night and quit the business for 18 years.
I heard AEW had a promo on, like, Tony Khan was on Impact, right?
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, I was not listening to you guys at all.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying something about, did you guys talk about the paid promotion thing?
Yes. Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Sorry. I have not been listening about. I'm sorry. Forget this ever happened.
How, does anybody seen when like in mid 1990 when Vince McMahon was a heel in Jerry Lawler's USWA?
You're talking about some boomer shit to us.
Okay, man. Yeah. I'm going to risk the copyright here. Uh-oh. And I'm going to share the screen and try to find something on YouTube right now while we're... I'm going to get the DMCA takedown here, but it's worth it. Like, this is what it kind of reminded me of. Where he's like a face everywhere, but this was like years before like the screw job.
Well, it was the end of the trio match. The Native American Tatanka going against the King. End of the trio.
Yay, copyright strike.
That's right.
String would come to an end, or the King's reign, the unified champion, would end.
You can vaguely hear it.
Well, well, well. How about that? Vince McMahon, voice of the World Wrestling Federation, is bestowed yet another honor.
Crowder, can you hear this? I can't hear this.
But none any more than the honor that was bestowed upon me last Monday night. Now, for the benefit of those of you...
Anyways, it's a boring promo.
yeah, I was about to say.
But it,
and like, all our viewers disappeared.
That's right. But basically, the gist was Vince McMahon was a babyface on WWF. He was just the commentator. Like, nobody knew that he was the owner yet. But he like ended up going to Jerry Lawler's USWA and doing like a little invasion angle there and cutting a heel promo. And I feel that's kind of like what Tony Khan is doing right now, where nobody knows, like fans kind of know that, like, he's the owner. Like, I don't think, like, my mom's, like, a casual fan of AEW. Like, she probably has no idea who Tony Khan is.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of deal where he's, Tony like, Khan obscure.
Didn't really come off as a heel, though, in my opinion.
I don't know. He came across as smarmy, where it's like, yeah, I might buy Impact Wrestling kind of thing. And
he didn't come off as, like, I didn't think he came off as, like, that at all. Like, I feel like he just came off as, like, not a pushover.
I feel well, he came yeah, across as arrogant in the thing.
Well, if you look at it in kayfabe terms, another owner of a different wrestling organization helped your talent win the title and then took him and showed him on your show, on his show, right? So
yeah, so
any boss would be mad, right?
Yeah, so but to like the Impact fans, like he's coming across as the heel saying that he's going to buy this shitty promotion.
That's true. But I think there's a lot of crossover there. Right? I think Impact fans and AEW fans are very one in the same.
I don't know. There's a lot of like dunking on Tony in the Twitch chat.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Tony was fucking awesome, man. Like,
I guess it all depends on your perspective, I feel.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I feel like I know, like, Tony Khan hasn't really been on AEW television other than, like, when, like, people like, walk past him backstage when he's on the monitors or whatnot. But after watching that little, like, advertisement on Impact, I wouldn't mind seeing Tony Khan show up more often.
Yeah, like, he...
not, like, every episode, every week, but, like, I wouldn't mind him, like, showing up every now and then just to, like, throw down the law or whatnot.
In theory, I agree. In execution, I would like less authority figures. But I guess AEW doesn't really have any.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't mind a, say, Adam Pearce / William Regal type authority figure in AEW.
Now that I'm thinking about it, does AEW have an authority figure?
Not really.
Like, who's making the matches here?
I mean,
Well,
I guess because the Young Bucks and Kenny are EVPs, right?
I guess like they're kind of like teasing Cody, like with Taz and Cody thing.
It's like,
I wouldn't mind Teddy Long being general manager of AEW.
Why not?
I mean, they love tag team wrestling in AEW. We all know that Theodore Long loves tag team wrestling.
Teddy Long fucking loves tag team wrestling.
Just bring the Undertaker over there, and that's it. It's a dream come true for
him. I agree.
Oh, what else now?
I don't know. Like, we're almost at the hour mark. Do we want to...
I feel like this should be a shorter episode.
We're trying to petition to make this show shorter because we're making people sit through 2 hours of our bullshit.
Yeah, like I still feel like 2 hours is too long.
I agree. All
right. How about we put it in the chat? How long do you want
to watch?
Let's bring it up to the chat while we're discussing.
Two hours is too long. That's what she said.
Do you prefer these kind of shorter shows, or do you like the longer streams? Also, I need to bring up we're gonna source out to Twitter our year end awards. For right now, we're calling them the Daddies. Subject to change.
This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
as TY chokes on his water here. Does anybody have a better name than the Daddies now?
To be completely honest, the younger generation, we love the Daddies, the daddy talk, right? So, I mean,
if anybody has a suggestion for an award, we don't want to just do like the boring match of the year, wrestler of the year. We want to hear from you what you want an award category to be.
That's right.
So hit us up on Twitter at dadbodsquad_pod or on Instagram at dadbodsquadpod.
Most wild hot take of the year.
Yes, and yes, the hottest take of the year. With that said,
Spider-Man 2 is better than The Dark Knight.
That might be. We should probably compile all the hot take winners and then put them.
Wouldn't you agree, Crowder?
Put them in their own.
Yes, for the hottest take.
Yeah, but I'm going with the daddies, and I'm confirming it right now, even though I have no authority, but it's the daddies.
All right, we got two for the daddies here, so the tie cannot be broken here. I guess it can.
I think Jules would go with the daddies as well.
So yeah.
Like, you're the only person left.
So with Jules not here, we don't have a FMK segment. So I think we just want to go to the main event hot takes. We haven't even talked about the Illuminati or QAnon today, so that's exciting.
Bring it up. Okay. Oh, no, none of that matters anymore. None of that matters anymore because now we have the Galactic Federation. What? Yes. Haven't y'all heard the news?
Oh. All right. So you guys get a 5-minute rant about Blake talking about shit that we don't give a fuck
about. Yes, Blake. So. Do you want to enlighten the world about the Galactic Federation? The floor is yours.
Yes. This Eshed guy who was the head of the Israel space people.
The space people? Are they the Galactic Force here? Or?
Yeah. So essentially, he said that Israel and the USA have been in contact with aliens for years now, and that President Donald Trump is not only aware of it, but he was about to spill the beans on the whole thing a couple years ago, but the Galactic Federation stopped him because humanity is not ready.
You see, that is why the globalist had to rid Donald Trump the way that they did. The world was not ready, and we'll probably never be ready.
This Galactic Federation includes an underground base on Mars which has both American and alien representatives.
So why would you need an underground base on Mars? Like, it's not like somebody's going to just, like, you know, stumble upon this base. So they could build it on the surface and nobody would know.
Well, they are having Project Mars, right? Like, they're sending people to Mars to live there.
Yeah, there's robots on Mars.
Yeah, but...
And they're sending people there, right? In, like, 10 years or whatever.
Well, so. I don't think in 10 years. I don't think they're going to be ready. you might just be sending people to die at that point.
The first people who get sent to Mars probably will die. That's a thing.
I mean, everybody will eventually die, so.
Well, what a great note we're all going to die. Thing, yeah.
And the thing about humanity not being ready, that's probably like the most like logical part about this whole thing, if anything. Is logical about it because let's be real.
So,
do you guys honestly believe that humans are ready to know about aliens? Because I don't.
TY, are humans ready to know that aliens exist?
I mean, I don't fucking know.
I do not think they are, and I'll tell you why. Humans on this planet can barely tolerate people of different colors. And now people want us to communicate with fucking aliens.
People.
Here's what I think, though. I think if there's a extra, what do you call them? Extraterrestrial or like, I don't know, like aliens.
Sure.
If aliens come, I think humans will unite more. If we fight against a threat, listen to me.
Who's this, like Mars Attacks here? Or?
This is my theory. If people will forget about all the bullshit between humans, if there's a different species of thing attacking us, right? That's all I'm saying. Right now, is there going to be the people who still try to find a way? Absolutely, but I think in general we will be more united after we get destroyed by the aliens.
We can't convince people to wear a piece of fabric over their face. Do you think that
I'm
we
trying
could
to be positive?
Do you think that we could convince everybody to unite against one rallying force here?
I don't think convincing. Yeah. I think if aliens come, you have no choice.
Well, what if they just want to hang out?
Yeah, TY, like you're
assuming the worst. You're assuming that the aliens are here for nefarious purposes. Yeah,
your idea of staying positive involves fighting aliens.
Yes, but here's the thing, all right? If you think of the world of wrestling, we're just fighting each other, all right? But we do it for good, so there's good guys. They're still fighting.
So are you saying that it's
violent, but they're good people. right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like,
so, just a second. I got a wrestling analogy against here.
Aliens, it just proves that humanity is in fact not ready.
So TY's envision of this is like basically the Dota's booking of Survivor Series this month. How everybody randomly hates each other, and then there's some stupid rallying force where everybody is magically friends for no reason at all.
Yeah, just like Andrew said, all aliens are heels. Well, here's the thing. If aliens come to Earth, are they coming for a fight? Or are they coming to...
They're coming for beer.
How do they know what beer is?
They've heard things.
We'll show them.
I'm gonna say it right now, aliens are smarter than us and know more than us, so...
Probably.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. I'd imagine there's a life form out there that's a lot smarter than us.
I don't know. I still think that Survivor Series 2020 men's raw team is what's going to happen when the aliens come. That's my optimistic view.
All right. So let's move on to the main event segment. Let's move on to the scalding hot takes.
Oh boy, I forgot. Did I prepare a hot take?
I sure as hell hope so. You've had 2 weeks now.
Yeah,
so,
use this as like the you know how like people have segments on shows. And they have like this thing that flies across the screen. Like, you know, when WWE has a title match and it shows like,
yeah, it's like,
yeah, exactly. This is it right here.
So TY defended his title last week in slightly controversial means.
The shoot wasn't there. I literally wasn't there. And I was surprised when I was told I won. I guess.
Our good friend Rick Jules wanted the title held up in abeyance this week. And
I'm being honest, I think it should be vacant as well. But like I said,
I'm just going with traditional wrestling rules that the title cannot change hands on a non-finish.
Fair enough. Also, I have one thing before we go to hot takes. So I know this might be a little controversial, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble with saying this, but fuck you, Blake. I'm still provincial champ. All right, so let's go to the main event segment.
I might just recycle my old hot take of TY is a little bitch.
All right, TY, who do you want to start off?
Let's have Blake go first.
All right.
And then PJC, you can go second, and I want to go last.
Okay, so I once told you people that TY Jackson is a little bitch. Now I'm here to inform you all that especially after MPW Into the Lair this week, T.Y. Jackson.
Oh my God, what's that? I'm sorry, it just came out of nowhere. Continue.
I'm here to inform you people that T.Y. Jackson is a huge bitch.
Now you can. You can
get a different take. I wasn't allowed to do my beer take like last month. So.
No, you were. Can.
No, I wasn't. Everybody you made me do a, redo my
you
take.
You changed it on your own.
I was forced to.
No, Blake, listen. How dare you rob the good people
of an actual
take? Yeah, who are watching this on their Sunday evening, all right, taking time out of their day. Yeah, they could be doing something else. You fuck on them with that shitty ass take. All right, give them something good.
Yeah, give the people what they deserve here.
Okay, fine. You know what? This take is going against one of TY's takes a couple weeks back.
Okay. Peanut butter is great, or
not just no. Pineapple does not belong on pizza.
Oh, there we go.
It shouldn't be a hot take, but
I'll count it. We have no slight variations of previous takes. But I think it's like no slight variations of your own takes. You could variant somebody else's take, I suppose.
Okay, but here's my concern with that. Okay, you're saying pineapples belong on pizza, like it's a mandatory requirement. Okay, it's not a mandatory requirement. Okay, people who like pineapple on pizza can do it. If you don't want it, take it the fuck off.
They should not be allowed to. Kind of like cyclists in the like just riding their bikes in the middle of the road, obstructing traffic.
So you want to communize pizza? You want to communize pizza? That's what you're saying.
Yes.
He wants to segregate pizza here. Blake's pro segregation when it comes to pizza.
The fuck is wrong with Blake? Pineapple pizza is an actual crime on Cyberpunk 2077.
Is it? Is that like legit?
Is it actually?
I'm waiting for actual confirmation if that's actually a crime.
If that's an actual fucking crime in Cyberpunk 2077, then I cannot wait to get this game.
All right. Well, while we're waiting in the chat there, I was going to do a food-related take, but I guess since Blake did one, I'm going to have to change on the fly. I will go with the Tragically Hip is the most overrated band of all time.
Damn.
I don't know who they are, so I'm
scared. They are a lame... They're like the most popular rock band in Canadian history. They fucking suck. They are a bad REM knockoff. They sing about like wheat growing in Manitoba and everybody like fucking loves them for that. But yeah, Tragically Hip.
Crowder, you can't use facts as your hot take. Exactly. Like, that'd be like me saying, all right, hot take, humans need air to breathe.
Yeah. But there's so many people that like jack off over the Tragically Hip and I hate it so much. They are so bad. They are terrible live. I got tickets for free from my cousin, and I felt ripped off.
Like, and you got it for free? Fuck!
I hate the Tragically Hip. Like I'm gonna go with like most Canadian content's fucking terrible. Like when it comes to media, and Tragically Hip is the worst example of like Canadian content.
Exactly.
Canadian radio stations still have that 30% rule.
Yeah. And a lot of like TV stations too. Like for every like one good Canadian content, there's like 29 terrible ones to fill that up. Yeah,
like some really bad Canadian content. Like example, like Tragically Hip, the Dad Bod Squad Pod, etc.
Yes. Yeah, we are shit Canadian content here, fellas.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so it's my time. It's my turn. All right. So, my hot take is...
Blake Cannon is a little bitch.
No. I'm going to give the people something to talk about. I'm going to give the people, the seven people who are, including me and Blake, who are on
the eight people that'll download the podcast.
Exactly. I'm giving them a show because I'm a showman. All right. Here's my hot take. I believe that the summer season sucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think
it's overrated. I think it's hot. I don't like it. I don't like sweating. So I prefer winter seasons or those in-betweeners.
I'll take summer weather over winter any fucking day.
Oh, fuck that.
I fucking hate winter.
Actually, make that my hot take. Winter is better than summer.
Hey, there we go.
Because here's the thing, Blake, you can do so many things to get warm, but you can never do enough to get cool. Can
here's the weird thing. I find myself getting like more overheated in winter than I do in summer. Because like in winter, I'll always like wear something that like gets me like too fucking hot all the time. It's like, oh fuck, it's cold, but it's not that cold. Shit, what have I done?
Well, you're wrong. So Blake, your take was pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it.
So that is getting decisive comments in the chat here.
Well, maybe it's because I'm African and I have the hate of sun because it is just. And here's the thing: like Canadian sun is nothing compared to African sun. Okay, when it's plus 70 outside and it's the worst.
Like
so I'll take minus 60 over plus 78.
I couldn't fucking imagine. Like I hate when it gets like. To 27, I can't deal with that when it gets like to 27. I couldn't deal with like it, like in Arizona in the summer, like in the desert where it's like plus 50 fucking.
And it's
there.
Dry, and like it's like it like a humid air. It's the worst. I hate it.
Okay, so
yeah, we got Val hates dry. It does make driving a little bit lamer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, there's a give and take, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd rather take the extra 15 minutes to heat up my car in the morning and drive a little slower than sweat continuously all day.
Okay, so is that going to be it for episode 10, double digits of the Dad Bod Squad Pod?
I think this has been the most professional of the least professional wrestling podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that.
Can we keep it going, please?
No. Absolutely not.
Are we going to change it to the most professional, least professional wrestling podcast?
Because that's not just professional at all.
Because that's just a stupid tagline.
Don't put that evil on us, Crowder.
All right, you gonna send us home here, Blake? Send us home happy?
I guess so. Thank you all for tuning into the Dad Bod Squad Pod. My name is Blake Cannon. You can find me on social media at Blake Cannon. And also, if you would like some Dad Bod Squad Pod merchandise, you can find that at streamlabs.com/MikeTheRef/merch.
There we go. Also on the Twitter page is a link to the store in the Twitter bio.
Yes. Blake, are you gonna be... Instagram, we're at Dad Bod Squad Pod.
Any plans for the week here, Blake?
I have none.
No. Any streaming plans? Pokemon Youngster Joey returning?
Nah, nobody gives a shit about Blake's streaming plans.
Fucking
anyways,
TY,
you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TYJackson_something with a royalty in it.
I don't think you have an underscore. Do you have an underscore in your Twitter name?
Cut the underscore. This is T.Y. Jackson royalty.
You both, don't even know.
On both platforms.
You don't even know.
I just want to thank everybody and fuck Blake Cannon. I'm so pleased with
you. Fuck you, T.Y. You piece of shit. You are the worst. I hate you more than I hate children. So that's how much I fucking hate you.
So I feel this is a good time to cut the show now after Blake motherfucks children. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Cannon 316 says, I hate children.
Oh, pull us up. Dadbot Squad _pod. Good night, everybody.